Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Some people are weird. You ever notice that?
No.
That might be because you're one of them. No, I mean, everybody's got their quirks, and some people wear their weirdness on the outside. You can see them coming for a ways. Other people have a little weirdness on the inside, and it comes out after you're around them for a while. That's why I encourage couples that want to get married, you need more than love. You know, you better have a solid foundation, because when the new wears off and the infatuation and the romance kind of wears down, why, you better have something else to stand on, or you're not going to make it. Paul's going to talk about weirdness in the church. I didn't entitle it this. But the reason I'm using that word is because that's the way we perceive things, especially if people don't believe the way we do. And it seems like, especially with new Christians, when we get into the church, instead of making them disciples for Jesus Christ, we want to make them copies of ourselves. You know, because we think we got it all figured out, and these poor people need to know what we know, so they'll be in the same place or level that we are. And this isn't unique to this church, to this century. They had it in the first century church. We're still talking about walking in love because this pertains to love. I'm commanded to love you like I love myself, to treat you the way I want to be treated, and to love God with all my heart. And Paul's going to touch on that in this message today. The text is from Romans 14, verses 1 through 12. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord, and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Father, I thank you that your word never returns to you void, but like the rain and the snow that you send out, it always accomplishes your good will. And Lord, as we read this today and consider this text about walking in love, help us to understand that we are to bear with one another, not judge one another. And that in matters that do not pertain to doctrine, Lord, we truly must be tolerant and bearable of one another. Help us to remember that you, for Christ's sake, have forgiven us and accepted us, and we are commanded to do the same thing. In Jesus' name, amen. A problem existed in the early church between some of the Jewish converts and some of the Gentile converts. This is the main issue Paul's addressing here. Now, a Jewish convert who was brought up under the law of Moses still held that certain foods were unclean. There's an example in the book of Acts with the Apostle Peter when he was at the house of Simon the Tanner. And you remember Cornelius had had a vision. An angel told him, he was a Gentile, to send to Joppa to the house of a man named Simon the Tanner and call for Simon Peter and said, he'll come and give you words that you and your house will be saved by. And Peter said he went on the roof to pray and he was hungry, and while they were fixing lunch, he saw a vision where a sheet was let down from heaven and there were all kinds of reptiles and four-footed beasts. And it says a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up to heaven. Now, when we read that, when I read it, I thought, what is Peter's problem? When I first read, here is an apostle of Jesus Christ, a man who lived with Jesus for 3.5 years, heard him teach, and he still got a thing about whether he should eat certain meat or not. Well, then I thought, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus never ate a ham sandwich. Jesus would not eat catfish. There were certain fish Jesus wouldn't eat. There was certain meats, pork, that Jesus wouldn't eat because he was a Jew. But I thought, surely when Peter came to Christ, he would understand they're not under the law. The Apostle Paul said, every meat or every food is to be received with thanksgiving. And he said, that when we pray over it, it sanctifies it, God blesses it, and we're able to eat it. But not everybody believes that. There were Jews in the early church that came to Christ, but they said, I still ain't eating pork. I'm still going to observe the Sabbath. The Christian Sabbath was the first day of the week. Now, that doesn't mean God changed the Sabbath. There used to be a guy who put an ad in the newspaper every week, the Sabbath is on Saturday. Well, I don't disagree with that. It's the seventh day of the week. God blessed it and declared it holy. And some of the Jewish Christians said, we still celebrate Sabbath or Shabbat. Well, some of the Gentiles had never been raised that way, and they said, well, we don't. And we don't feel any conviction of the Holy Spirit that we should. So some of the Jewish Christians said, well, you're wrong. We can show you in the Bible where you're supposed to honor the Sabbath, where you're not supposed to eat pork or catfish or foods like that because they're unclean and it'll make you unclean. Even Peter, when God showed him that vision, Peter thought, this is a test. And he proudly said, God, I won't eat any of those animals. I've never tasted anything unclean. And God said, what I've cleansed, don't you call unclean. Now, we know the reason for that. Because right after the vision, three Gentiles showed up. And the Holy Spirit said, Peter, I want you to go with them. Don't doubt anything, because I sent them. And Peter took about six other Jewish brothers with him to Cornelius' house to preach. And he said, you know that it's not lawful for one of my nation to come to your house, but God has showed me not to call anything common or unclean that he's cleansed. Peter learned a good lesson out of that. It doesn't mean he started eating pork. See what I'm getting at? Well, they were butting heads in the church. Some Jews, in order to avoid accidentally eating unclean meat when they were in the company of Gentiles, would only eat vegetables. If you fed them, and they came into your house, the Jewish Christian came to your house to eat, they didn't know if that meat you bought, you might have got it at the marketplace, it could have been sacrificed to an idol, or you might be sneaking pork in there, or that you might put a mess of catfish you caught that morning up there for lunch, and they didn't know what kind of fish it was. Because in the Jewish community, everything had to be what they call kosher now. they had their dietary regulations, and you didn't prepare that kind of food in a Jewish home, but the Gentiles didn't know that. So in order to keep from accidentally becoming unclean, they wouldn't eat the meat. When you put it up there, they'd eat vegetables and bread. Well, Paul said there was a problem in the church with this. The Jews had a problem with the Gentiles because we think you need to eat like we do. You need to observe our holy days, or you're not really following Christ. The Gentiles said, you're just as ignorant as you can be. We're not under the law anymore. I can eat pork and catfish at the same time, and I'm not going to go to hell for that. I don't have to worship on your Sabbath. I worship on the first day of the week. And in fact, we think we're more right than you are. The Gentile believers were not raised under the law. And especially after the decision handed down by the council at Jerusalem, we find that in the book of Acts. Luke writes, some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, the Gentile brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, that means they had a falling out. They had an argument. Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them. Paul and Barnabas and some of the brothers were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. Good question. Some of the Jewish converts came down to where the Gentile converts was, and they said, we're glad you believe in Jesus, but you need to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses or you can't be saved. In other words, Jesus' blood on the cross wasn't enough. You got to eat a certain way. You got to dress a certain way. You got to worship on a certain day. You have to observe certain holidays. You have to be bound under the law we're under, or you can't be saved. Paul and Barnabas, both God-fearing Jews, devout Christians, argued with these men and said, no, the Gentiles aren't bound under that. So they did the smart thing. They said, let's go to Jerusalem and talk to the apostles and elders there. Of course, they met mainly Peter, James, and John. They were the pillars of the Jerusalem church. And Paul said, we'll go ask them. It says, when they got there, they argued one thing and they argued another. And some of the Pharisee converts said they have to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. And Peter stood up and said, we're trying to put a burden on them that neither we or our fathers could bear. And Peter said, you guys know that by my mouth God chose for the Gentiles to hear the gospel for the first time. And he said, when the Spirit fell on them, I realized, who are we to fight against God? God accepted them. It said, then the council got quiet. They said, yeah, you're right, Peter. You didn't preach circumcision. You preached Jesus Christ. And they received the Holy Spirit. So it said, when the church asked Peter, why did you go to the Gentiles? They were upset. First time I ever read about a church getting mad when revival broke out. What were you doing down there with them Gentiles? And Peter said, who was I to fight against God? I went in there and started preaching like God told me to, and the Holy Spirit fell, just like He did on us. And he said, who am I to fight against God? I ordered them to be baptized. He said, can any forbid water that these should be baptized? He said, I seen that God received them. It said, then the church said, well, then God really has granted salvation to the Gentiles. This was some 7 years after the Lord had ascended to heaven and told His church, go into Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And historically, the church did not leave Jerusalem for the first 7 years. They were happy just to preach to the Jews, understandably so, to convince the Jews that Jesus was Messiah, to try to bring the nation of Israel to Jesus Christ. But when Stephen was stoned, it said they were scattered and they began to preach in different areas. Some only preached to Jews, others started talking to the Gentiles. Peter was the first one. And the council sent this edict to the Gentiles. It seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas leading men among the brothers with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, having gathered all the congregation together. They delivered the letter, and when they had read it, they rejoiced because of the encouragement. They were encouraged. They said, the apostles and elders in Jerusalem said, we never sent those guys. We never told you that. You don't have to obey the law of Moses. You don't have to be circumcised. But we do ask that you don't eat food sacrificed to idols. Paul later on tells the Corinthian church, you don't want to go there. He said, you need to learn history from the Jewish history. Boy, we got in a lot of trouble for that. They said, don't eat blood. Don't eat meat with blood. That's what strangled meat is. You were to bleed an animal. God said, pour the blood out on the ground, cover it with dust. Don't eat the blood. And they said, abstain from sexual immorality. They said, if you do these things, you'll fare well. And it said they rejoiced. You see, they saw the law for what it was. It was a burden to people. The law did not make anyone righteous. It only convicted them. It only condemned them of sin. Now, you would think after such an edict, there wouldn't be any more argument or debate in the church. The elders and the apostles of Jerusalem handed this decision down to the Gentiles, but here we are in the Church of Rome with Jewish and Gentile Christians still debating, still arguing. And the Jews are judging the Gentiles because they're not following what they do, and the Gentiles are hating the Jewish Christians because they think they're superstitious. One man noted that the superstitious are the ones who tend to judge. The unsuperstitious are the ones who tend to despise. The Gentiles said, you just don't get it. Therefore, I'm not calling you brother. Now, you would think that this would have settled that. But the age-old question arose among the believers that's still here today in the church, who's right? I know what the church said, but Paul, who's right? Is it those of us who say that we're not under the law and that we can eat what we want? And the Jews are saying, now, Paul, you're a Jew. You need to explain to these Gentiles they're wrong. You see? Who's right? The Gentiles are saying, these people are weird. They dress funny. They observe holidays that I could care less about. But they condemn me because I won't observe those holidays. Paul, tell them we're right. You're an apostle to the Gentiles. Jesus called you to preach to the Gentiles. You suffer immensely at the hands of the Jews because you preach to Gentiles. So tell them we're right. And here's Pastor Paul caught in the middle. We have the same issues going on in the church today. Some interpret Scripture one way, some another. Well, if you're really saved, you won't smoke cigarettes or watch TV or drink coffee or drink alcohol. You won't go to dances. You'll wear your skirts down past your knees and you won't wear short-sleeved shirts and you won't have any tattoos. You know, if you're really saved, that's how you're going to look. And you got the other bunch, you go, it doesn't matter, man. If you're saved, you're saved. Doesn't matter how you dress or what you do. I used to watch a preacher on satellite that preached with a glass of brandy in one hand and a cigar in the other, because he said, after all, we're saved by God's grace. It doesn't matter what we do. He'd stand there and get about half sloshed while he's preaching the gospel. Now you're shaking your heads. I was the same way. I thought, yeah. Paul acknowledges in the first three verses to the Gentile believers, these guys are weak in faith. I've had people tell me, if you're really saved, you should be a vegetarian, because you have to kill an animal to eat, so you're shedding blood, and that's murder. Anybody else sick of those ACP or whatever they call commercials, where they show dogs in cages? Only $19 a month, you can rescue these animals. I'm tired of it. 1,500 babies are murdered every day in this country, and you're asking me for money to save a puppy? Now, I'm against cruelty to animals. I love animals. But look where our society is. Bend over backwards to save a dog, and they'll butcher a baby in his mother's womb in the name of medical science. Something's wrong with that. Paul said to these Gentiles, they're weak in their faith. Ha! Told you! Paul agrees with us. But he warns them. He says, you who are stronger in faith, don't argue with them. Support them. Yeah, but they're different. Support them. They don't believe the way I do. Support them. The argument he gives is God does. God saved them. Well, you know what that means when they won't eat ham? Yeah, there's more for you at the fellowship dinner. You know, love them and eat ham. Say, praise God, you don't want to eat ham, that's okay. But what does he say to the people that don't eat the ham? Don't judge these people. We've had people come through here. They don't stay long. And that's my fault. I don't put up with that nonsense. We've had people come through here. I remember one came to my office and said, I can't believe a man knows the Word of God like you do, doesn't understand. We need to worship on the Sabbath, and we need to abstain from certain foods in order to be Christians. And I said, no, you don't. And I said, we're not going to teach that here, and you better not teach it while you're here. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Well, they tried doing it anyway. They end up getting mad. They haven't been back. And I look back at that now, and I thought, I could have probably handled that a little different. In fact, I told him, if you want to worship on the Sabbath, I don't have a problem with that. I said, if this church as a whole said, we want to start worshiping on Saturday, I don't have a problem with that. But if you tell me that if you don't worship on Saturday, you're not a Christian, I got a big problem with that. So did Paul. But you see, he said to the Sabbath worshipers, don't you judge the people that worship on Sunday. He said to the people who worship on Sunday, don't you hate the Sabbath worshipers. Well, yeah, but they're different. God accepts them. When I came to Christ, I had a pack of Marlboro in my pocket. Had an empty 12-pack sitting beside me. I think I had a little weed in my other pocket. I don't remember. But God saved me. He didn't say, if you'll put them cigarettes down, I'll save you. I've heard preachers say it. Well, if you take them gold rings off, quit smoking them cigarettes, maybe you'd get saved. Where's that in the Bible? Now, it took him almost 20 years. But the Lord convinced me that I didn't need to be using tobacco in any way, shape, or form as a Christian. In fact, it came to a point in my life, He said, that's an idol. That's a god. And you can't have any other god before me. Are you going to give it up? And then He empowered me to give it up. But He accepted me. The danger of this is, we can actually frustrate, especially baby Christians. And we can end up driving them away instead of building them up in love because our pride just can't handle that they're different. Paul says you're to welcome them in instead of arguing about opinions. And that's all they are, is opinions. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got at least two of them. Seen somebody out there counting. Paul said you accept them because God has. Yeah, but God, they're weird. God says, so are you. I seen a title of a book one time that I agree with. Normal is the setting on a dryer. Who's normal? I think I'm pretty normal. And I can look out here at some of you, and some of you are a little weird. You know, I'm just being honest with you. You're kind of weird. In some ways, you're a little different than I am. You think different than I do. But God says you need to love them. Because I do. Now, Paul's not talking about doctrine here. And well, let me say this. The foundational doctrine of Christianity, that's not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about morals. He doesn't say we fudge on that. He doesn't say we put our head in the sand or we look the other way. If somebody comes into our assembly and says Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven, you run from them like a cottonmouth snake. Because he's the only way to get to God. Jesus Christ is the only truth that there is. He's the only way to get to God. He's the only source of life there is. You will not find life or happiness or peace in any other person but Jesus Christ. You will find salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. You can get to God through no other person than Jesus Christ. Muhammad won't get you there. Buddha won't get you there. Some young moon will not get you there. Confucius will not get you there. Only Jesus Christ. That's why they called the early church the sect of the way. Because these Christians were bigots and they were intolerant. We learned today in Sunday school that in Rome from the year 270 to 304 A.D., the Christians were being murdered and slaughtered. Diocletian, one of the emperors, was convinced if we can get rid of these Christians, we'll have a utopia because we'll all get along and we'll all tolerate one another and love one another. It's those Christians that are troublemakers. They say there's only one God. There's only one way to get to Him. Say that our drunken parties are sin. They say that having a mistress is wrong. They say that being faithful in marriage is commanded by their God, and you're not supposed to run around and have sex with anybody you want to. They say homosexuality is a sin. So if we can kill these people and get rid of them, we'll have a utopian kingdom. Sound familiar? We're getting close to that here. They're not killing us yet, but boy, they're sure doing their best to shut us up. Don't let somebody tell you that the gay community is a bunch of passive, loving people. They are hateful, and they have an agenda to shut up the Church of Jesus Christ. They do not want to hear anyone say what you're doing is wrong. We will not recognize it. For that, they say, if we can shut these Christians up, we'll have a good nation. Why are you so against the gays? They started it. Don't get in my face and tell me I got to accept your lifestyle because I do not, I will not, I never will. And neither does God. But that doesn't just go for the gay. It goes for the drunks. It goes for the druggies. It goes for the people that can't be true to their mates and they run around and cheat on them. It goes for the teens and the young people that are out there having sex outside of marriage. God says, I hate that and I will judge that, and that will kill you if you don't stop it. Those are the doctrines we don't compromise on. Those are the things that if you come into this assembly and try to teach something different, the elders of this church will stop it. We don't have sleeping dogs in this church. Our dogs bark and they bite. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we will call you to the carpet and we will say, that's not going to be done here. Is it because we don't love you? No. is because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we're not going to allow that to happen. But you see, if you come in here and say, well, I don't think as a Christian I ought to eat pork, Paul said, accept you. God did. In another place, he said, don't cause a brother to die, to perish, for whom Christ died for, because of what you eat and drink. Don't set your feet and say, this is the way it is, or you're not a Christian. I remember in Bible college, we had a debate. We had three debates in one class, and our professor made us take one side that we were against and argue the pro. I hated that. But after I did it, I really appreciated it. I thought, okay, yeah, I see what he's doing. But I remember one preacher there admitted that he still smoked. Now, in the Nazarene church, that was a no-no. And our question was, how did you get licensed by the Church of the Nazarene as a local minister if you smoked? You evidently didn't tell him you smoked. And during the debate, one of the guys that was kind of on the losing end of it, he looked at that preacher and said, well, I seriously question your salvation since you smoke. And the rest of us preachers said, foul. And we looked at the mediator and said, you need to shut this down right now. And that preacher got sanctimonious instead of sanctified. Well, brothers, do you agree that he shouldn't be smoking? Yeah, we agree with that. But who are you to say he's not a Christian? Paul said here, to his own master he'll stand or fall. I remember in a church youth group, a young lady said, Brother Rick, will we go to hell for listening to rock and roll? I said, no. And the youth teacher sucked her breath in so deep it pulled the first front row in. Oh, and I found out, she got very offended. I found out later, she told him, yeah, if you listen to rock and roll, you're going to hell. So I said, let me clarify that. Anything that keeps you from Jesus Christ, that's what will condemn you. Anything you love more than Jesus Christ is going to get you in trouble because it's going to affect your relationship with Jesus Christ. He said it'd be better for you to cut that off and throw it away. I said, if the music doesn't glorify Jesus Christ, whether it's rock and roll or country, why do you want to listen to it as a Christian? Why do you want to spend your time in it? But I said, I'm not going to tell you that if you listen to rock and roll, you're going to hell, because then the opposite is if you don't, you'll go to heaven. And I was preaching in a Nazarene church, and I saw these young people there, and they were listening. I could tell they were listening. And I talked to them about that. And there was an old guy sitting over there amening me every step of the way. Amen, brother, preach it. Amen, preacher, preach it. And I said, now while we're on the subject of music, I said, this tear in the beer country that you guys like, where if you sober up, you get your wife, your dog, and your house back. You know, I said, that's just as wicked as the rock and roll. And the teens went, amen. And after the church, that brother come up and got my hand and said, I want to tell you something, preacher. I've been singing and playing bluegrass and rock and country music for 40 years. And I don't think anything's wrong with it. And I said, brother, I don't have a thing against that. But I said, if the Holy Spirit tells you it's wrong, you better be paying attention. One of the teens came up and shook my hand and said, thank you. He said, you're the first person I ever heard did that. He said, I'm used to people jumping on me. I never heard anybody jump on them before. And I said, young man, I'm not trying to jump on anybody. I'm trying to tell you, don't spend your time in things that's going to pull you away from Jesus Christ. Some of these people believe that they should still observe the festivals and the holy days, such as Pentecost. The Gentiles felt they were under no obligation to do this. And you know what? They were right. The law of Moses was unique to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were right. They didn't have to observe those holy days. Paul pointed out, well, when you don't observe those days, you're honoring God because you believe God has made it where you don't have to observe those days. But the people that are observing these days are honoring God because they're observing these days in honor of God. So Paul said, what's the problem? You're both honoring God. Yeah, but they're doing it different. They're weird. They're weak in the faith. Paul said, yeah, they're weak. But he said, God received them. Who are you not to? You see, he's not talking about doctrines. He's talking about some traditions. These people were raised in the law. That's all they knew. And there were some of them could not just cut off their relationship with that and just go full-blown into Christianity. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Paul reminded the church of Corinth that he said, Jesus Christ died for us so that whether we were dead or alive, we belong to God. That's how we need to live. As Christians, we don't live for ourselves. We live for the Heavenly Father. And if the Heavenly Father receives this person who won't eat pork and this person who will, Paul says, who are you to judge them? Who are you to say, well, they're not really saved? He reminds the church of a truth that we forget. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, God says, and this is in the sense of swearing. Very few times you read where God swears in the Bible, but the Bible says he does that to establish that by two immutable things, it's impossible for him to lie. And when he swears that something's going to be done, you can bet on it. And the Lord says, as I live, every knee will bow to me. We think of the sinners doing that. We think of the wicked falling before God on the day of judgment and trembling because they know they're wrong. God said every one of you is going to fall on your knees. Oh, and I get to heaven, I'm going to run up and give Jesus a big old sloppy hug and a kiss. No, you ain't. You're going to fall on your knees and cry, holy. I believe that. Paul said, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. God's the one that's going to sort it out. So don't you judge them. You're not here to glorify your opinions, to try to push your opinions on other people. You're here to live as children of the living God. And if he's accepted these people, who are you and I not to? Why don't you stand with me this morning? If we would learn that in the church we're here as God's people and we're to love one another as God's people, we'd have a whole lot less disagreements in the church, I think. And we would learn that when we do disagree, just go on. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ, never asked Him to forgive you for your sins, I want to invite you to come forward and sit down up here and we'll talk about it.